On today's edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, it is What If Week, and today Josh and I are looking at the what if regarding Dwight Howard and his possible trade to the Nets. All that and more coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Nets podcast. I am your host, Josh Bass. Joining me as always in quarantine, it's Marcus Barahal. Marcus, I don't get to see you in person anymore, but I do get to see you over FaceTime, Google Hangout, Zoom, etc., which is not quite the same, but still nice.
Yeah, it's always nice when you pop into a Hangout, Josh. Your hair is getting long. I mean, Mine is as well, and everyone's is, but I'm just so not used to seeing you with long hair. I know you're usually a two on the sides guy, so that's a little jarring. Other than that, still great to see you.
Yeah, I hate to break it to you, but I've been going one on the sides for like the last year.
What?
Yeah. My boy Lucas and Isaac and Boris over at Headline Barbershop in Kips Bay have been taking care of me. They always like question me when I say one on the sides, but I'm like, yes, one. So they do it.
Yeah, one seems very short. I'm usually a five guy, but I've gone to four at times. But yeah, somewhere in that range for me. Haven't gotten a haircut in a long time though, Josh.
I know. You're really letting it grow. Back to your roots in high school.
Yeah, not by choice, but here we are. So
shave your
make
beard.
The best of it. I did.
Talk about that.
The beard is gone mercifully, because that I'm able to do myself. The haircut I'm still hesitant to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was doing a social distance walk with a friend of mine who lives in the neighborhood before this, and he had let someone give him a haircut. He now just has a buzz cut and looks not great. So I would caution you before you let someone else that you're not used to touch your beautiful mane.
My luscious locks.
Yep. So we're here on the podcast today talking about what ifs. It is What If Week on the Locked On Podcast Network. Some exciting stuff. And I think, Marcus, I don't know about you, but the Nets have a lot of these kind of like seminal moments, if you will. A lot of them have worked out very, very poorly, but they still have them. Was it more or less than you expected, given that you're more of a recent convert to the church of Netsdom than I am?
Definitely way, way more. I mean, some of the ones you texted me, like, I would not have considered, but then, like, as soon as I started doing the research that I do actually do for this podcast, believe it or not, I was, like, stunned at how tied the Nets have been to so many major events, so many major players of the last, like, two decades, especially, like, I don't know, like coming into this and like knowing we were going to talk about some of the what ifs, I kind of assumed that maybe we'd do like what if like KD was healthy kind of thing. But that's, I don't know, the Nets would be better is kind of like what that comes down to. A lot of these that you suggested, they have like a lot of things that they lead into, like other what ifs that are sprung from the what ifs that we're going to talk about. So these are definitely super interesting. And I'm really looking forward to discussing them.
Yeah, there's so am I. I mean, this brings back a lot of memories. One that I was not born for, but the other four I have very kind of vivid memories of that we're going to talk about. We'll get into over the next few episodes. I'm really proud of one of them that's like, I think on the surface, very kind of like ho-hum inconsequential, but it's really a sliding doors moment that I have a lot of, a lot riding behind, let's say. But that's a tease for later in the podcast because we are professionals and that's what we do. So before we get into it, you can follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podbean. We will be there. We'd love to see if you subscribe and rate us, review us, give us your feedback. But without much else being said, Marcus, let's get right into it with are we ranking these 5 through 1? I don't know what we're doing. I feel like
I think we're just kind of talking about them.
Yeah, we're talking about it. Okay, so to start off, kick us off, one that really took place over late 2011 into 2012, and then in kind of a real ironic moment, actually culminates with him being part of the team very briefly in the offseason of 2018. It's the Dwight Bear with Dwight Howard, Marcus.
Yes, definitely remember this. This was when there was kind of like a little bit of competition between the Knicks and Nets as to like which team would like make the big splashy move. Like the Nets acquired D. Will, the Knicks acquired Carmelo Anthony and signed Amari Stoudemire. And I don't know if that like partially maybe motivated the Nets to go more all in, but that kind of seemed like that was their philosophy in the early 2010s. And Dwight was a guy who they really wanted for a while, and eventually seemed like Dwight kind of wanted to come to the Nets, despite New Jersey at the time and then Brooklyn having Brook Lopez, who was one of the best non-Dwight centers for a long time.
And speaking of the best, I want to tell you guys about one of the best things that's come into my life recently, and that is Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. They've got 16 amazing flavors. 8 of them are chocolate and nut combinations, and the other 8 are nut-free options if that's more your speed. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they are surprisingly soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious person. I just had the coconut almond bar after workout this morning, and they help you lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber goodness. The coconut almond bar, gotta say, it was fantastic. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I've got the mint brownie bar lined up. I will report back on that. Very excited to try that one tomorrow. If you go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off of your first order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com.
Yeah, Dwight was in his prime at that point, and he had basically said, like, the Nets had gotten D-Will, which really came out of nowhere because, remember, they were trying to get Melo. Melo wanted to go to the Knicks. The Knicks were trying to make it work. Eventually did with the trade of with Denver of sending guys like Gallo, Wilson Chandler, Ray Felton, a bunch of stuff to Denver, and Melo got sent to New York. The Nets immediately countered basically the following week with getting D-Will, who no one knew was on the block at that time. But he had been feuding a bit with Jerry Sloan and was able to acquire him for Derek Favors. And we'll kind of get into Favors later on. But Favors kind of being the crown jewel of that and some first-round picks there. But as you mentioned, the Knicks had signed Amari and the Nets were looking to make their big splash. And basically the trade deadline of 2012, Dwight said he wanted to come there. They were kind of working some things out. The trade framework was going to be Brook Lopez and a few first-round picks. It seemed everything was in the works. Dwight and D-Will were apparently friends and seemed like, you know, you have the point guard who's great in pick and roll. You have the dominant big man there, Dwight Howard, who was still thought of as one of the best players in the league at that time. He kind of tailed off a bit after that, but he was a force to be reckoned with at that time. And you had Brook Lopez on the Nets, who was a very good young player, but then had a few really injury-prone seasons. I think only played 5 games that year. So he was kind of a question mark, but Dwight had eventually committed. They were trying to work some things out. Then really basically right before the trade deadline, Dwight reneged on the deal and saying he wasn't going to come to the Nets. And he basically extended 1 year with the Magic, which kind of threw everything off, which really was a bummer for a multitude of reasons. He kind of just led the Nets on, basically saying that the Magic enticed him by like bringing all of his favorite candies on the plane and like putting the paperwork in front of him with the candy, which was just ridiculous. It was a whole saga. There was a chance to potentially get him in the offseason, the same offseason he got traded to LA. But then it was tough to make it work there because the Magic were basically putting the Nets and a few other teams in limbo against each other. And the Nets basically said, okay, we're just going to re-sign Brook Lopez. And then the Magic didn't want to take on Chris Humphries. So that didn't work, but this was a really, really ongoing saga for a long time. It's a big moment because right after that, the Nets needed to make something happen to keep D-Will happy, remember, because they hadn't gotten Joe Johnson yet. Made the trade to get Gerald Wallace and giving up the pick that was became Damian Lillard, the 6th pick of the draft. And this was, you know, it's interesting because I feel like the Dwight trade wouldn't have worked out because clearly he was still a good player, a very good player after that, but at the end of his prime. but wasn't the player he once was. But if they had traded for Dwight, it would have saved them for that KG Pierce trade a couple years later. So it didn't work out one way. It wouldn't have worked out either way, but I think would actually have prevented a lot more damage if they had just made the trade, and it would have messed things up for a couple years, but the Nets would have had a cleaner restart and more accelerated than what ended up happening.
Yeah, and I mean, I had seen that they offered 4 unprotected firsts and Brook Lopez to the Magic for Dwight. And so, like, those picks could have very easily been, like, the exact same picks that they wound up trading. But instead of, like, one going to Portland and a few going to the Celtics, like, maybe they all go to the Magic. And maybe we're looking at a Magic team now with, like, Damian Lillard, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. Yeah. And that's kind of a crazy thought. But also, just to get back to Dwight, you mentioned, like, he was really, really good, and he maybe should have won the MVP the season before this one. That was the year that Derrick Rose won it. Dwight averaged 23-14, shot almost 60% from the field, 2.5 blocks per game, and was, like, just the best center in the league for probably, like, 5 or 6 years at that point. And this was, like, the last season of his peak, that 2011-12 season. But another thing that makes this what-if so interesting to me, at least, was that this was the lockout season. And so the trade deadline was in mid-March. It was March 15th of that season. And so I wonder if it had been at the normal time, if it had been like a month earlier, like Dwight was so wishy-washy that maybe like such a small thing as like if the date had been earlier, maybe he wouldn't have changed his mind and maybe he would have come to the Nets. That's like another little like splinter part of this what-if.
Yeah, it's a great point. And the Magic, like, they did not get a good haul for Dwight. They ended up basically getting Vucevic, Aflalo, Mo Harkless, and then one pick that became Dario Saric, but he was traded at the time to Philly. What did they get back for him? The pick that became Saric. They got something. But it was really, like, not a super impressive haul and set them up for a lot of mediocrity. And as you mentioned, they could have gotten Lillard, and the Magic have had a ton of athletes in recent years. The one thing they haven't had is really a point guard that can get them kind of set up and score. They were relying on Augustine for basically a ton of the last year. So that would have really changed their franchise, but they kind of botched that pretty badly. And it also screwed the Nets up, and you could make the argument screw the Lakers up for a few years. No one kind of really came out of this looking good.
And if you're worried about not just looking good on the outside, but also on the inside where it really counts, I want to tell you about one of the ultimate life hacks. Even during quarantine, I've kind of found myself just as busy as I was before, and it's hard to find the time to sit down and read and learn more. There's an incredible app that makes this a lot easier. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser, and it uniquely gives you the key takeaways and need-to-know information in just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Blinkist has thousands of nonfiction books and 12 million users, so there's no better time to jump in than right now. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to that massive library of nonfiction books, all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA to try it free for 7 days and get 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, BLINKIST, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your 7-day free trial and get 25% off your new subscription.
Yeah, I just looked it up. For Dario Saric, that was the Elfrid Payton trade that they got back in that one. So yeah, I mean, Vucevic has gotten a lot better and has definitely like established himself. And I mean, he would have been better off like in the NBA of 10 years ago, but still a useful, good player right now. But yeah, I mean, like, if you're giving up a guy who was the best player on the franchise like this century, definitely would have wanted more back. But yeah, I think the point you made about it, I think it kind of would have ended similarly for the Nets, like regardless of if they got Dwight, because that Nets team in 2011-2012, it was a lockout shortened season. They went 22-44, and the Magic were a 6 seed. They lost in the first round in 5 games. So it's not like they had a ton of success with Dwight either. I mean, maybe that Nets team, maybe they're like a little bit better constructed. Maybe they fit a little bit better around Dwight. But I don't think that this team was like going to do a ton in that season, especially because this was the year that the Miami Heat won their first title after they really flamed out the previous year against the Mavericks. So they were kind of on a mission. And I think that with this being Dwight's last year of his like prime, he was still solid with the Lakers and with Houston immediately after. But it was kind of like the beginning of the end for him after this 11-12 season. And so I think the names would have been different, obviously, and like guys would have been on different teams. Like you said, they probably don't make the KG Pierce trade or maybe they don't even sign Joe Johnson or make the Gerald Wallace trade. But I don't think that trading for Dwight Howard would have brought the Nets any closer to a championship.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't have brought them closer to a championship because, I mean, you're basically putting him on the team. And let's say they do make the trade for Joe Johnson's albatross that offseason. It's basically just replacing Brolo with Dwight, and obviously you have more of a defensive anchor, but you just don't have the scoring chops there. And I think a lot of it comes down to that D-Will really disappointed as a Net. Dwight wasn't kind of the like force that he once was. And to give him credit, you know, that team that he did bring, that Magic team he brought to the playoffs wasn't the Magic team of kind of their finals appearances. No Rashard Lewis anymore. You had Jameer Nelson there kind of running point, and he was pretty washed. And towards the tail end of his career. So he did a nice enough job getting them to a sixth seed on that end. But they weren't going anywhere. It's more so just protecting them from the disruption of, I guess they would have traded all the assets anyway, but you know, right. Maybe additional pick swaps. You're not just like thought of as the laughing stock because of the KG and Pierce thing. It also does accelerate the rebuild a little bit because you're making that trade 2 years earlier or so. There's some merit there, I feel like.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And in that Celtics trade, I think it was 3 unprotected plus 1 swap, or was it 2 swaps? I can't remember exactly. But with that plus the Gerald Wallace trade, I think that would have been more picks in total given out anyway. So like you said, they probably would have had one or two of those picks on the back end, which I think was the Jason Tatum pick. So maybe they still get him and just lose out on those earlier guys.
Yeah, that's fair. Because you have to think that they were giving up that pick anyway for Wallace.
Right.
Is how it turns out. And I think, I don't know. I mean, what would the Nets have looked like if Brook Lopez wasn't on the team for the later years? I feel like he's on Orlando kind of being the centerpiece there. Dwight and KG, if Dwight hadn't gotten hurt for that season, was still there. Like, I don't know. I just think it kind of sets the Nets up for a bit more success. And the team also would have been better in those intermittent years because Dwight was still a useful enough player after the Rockets post Lakers that he would have made them not a complete laughing stock.
Yeah, I think Dwight kind of takes a little bit too much shit for that Lakers season, especially just because, like, I don't know, everyone just kind of like remembers Kobe putting the team on his back down the stretch and hitting those two clutch free throws with his Achilles torn, and just kind of thinks of Dwight as sort of a laughing stock. But I mean, in that Lakers season, he was still 17 and 12.5, still 2.5 blocks, 58% from the field. Like, just from like a numbers perspective, he was not terrible. He was pretty good. And yeah, the decline didn't really come until like that last Rocket season, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't the force that he once was, but he was still an all-star player.
Yeah.
In those years. He was, like, in his prime, he was something else. I think he gets really, really underrated because, you know, he has the immaturity. People think of him as a joke. But, on those Orlando seasons from, like, 07 to 2010, he was a problem, as they say.
The little emoji with the smoke coming out of the nose.
Yep. That should actually be the theme for Locked On next week, the top 5 players in franchise history that were a problem, ironically.
Top 5, he was different, guys.
Yeah. Sundiata Gaines was different. That's all I have.
Utah Jazz legend.
Yep.
So that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Nets podcast. Hope you guys like this. We've got a few more what-ifs coming for you later this week. And then we've got a few more lined up for next week. We're also working on a mystery project that will be unveiled at some point, maybe over this weekend, with the Locked On Knicks guys and a few of our other friends. So hopefully we'll be able to tell you about that soon. But in the meantime, if you want even more Locked On podcast content. Make sure to check out the most recent episode of Hollinger and Duncan, two of the greats right there. Honored to be their coworker, even from afar in quarantine. Regardless, Josh and I will be back in your ears tomorrow with another What If in Nets history. Until then, be well. Bye.